your home of the Columbus Blue Jackets. Sports Radio 97.1 The Fan.
Find the trailer, shot, score!
You are now listening to The Inside Edge with Jody Shelley and Bob McElligan. This is your inside perspective on the NHL, players, the Blue Jackets, and more.
Brought to you by Nationwide, AEP, and Ohio Health. March with us.
Here's former Jacket Jody Shelley and the voice of the Jackets, Bob McElligan.
Well, good evening and welcome to The Inside Edge. I'm Bob McElligan, joined by Jody Shelley, and the Blue Jackets in a span here where they don't have a game for a couple of days, but it's a big day of hockey news today, Jody, and it's a big day regarding the Blue Jackets players. Today, as the day went on, teams were releasing their first rosters for the World Cup of Hockey. This will be an 8-team tournament that's going to be played in September. It'll be in Toronto, and the Blue Jackets had four of their players that were named to rosters today. It all started earlier this morning when Team Russia named Sergei Bobrovsky as one of the three goaltenders on their roster. Then late this afternoon, the North American team, which is the Young Stars team, you have to be 23 or younger to make this team, and from the U.S. or Canada, and the Blue Jackets got three players on that squad, two defensemen, the top defensive pairing here, as a matter of fact, Seth Jones and Ryan Murray. Also, Brandon Saad, who was an NHL All-Star, has been named to that team as well. So, big day for those guys.
And just looking over that under-23 roster, I mean, when you look at some of the lineups, I mean, World Cup, you think of international competition. You know, the World Championships is going to go down here at the end of this season. And you think of the Olympics, which is a big stage, but when you think of the World Cup, and I don't know if we've got our full grip on it. Well, I didn't really until I saw the rosters today, because this is Olympic caliber hockey. This is unbelievable, the rosters that the teams have put in, these nationalities. And then that added twist with the under 23, and the Blue Jackets have got three players, as you mentioned, two of the top pair defensemen representing there. It's a great sign for the Blue Jackets. They talk about the youth of this organization. We talk about it locally. We talk about it every game, obviously, Seth Jones and Ryan Murray. But for them to be noticed and taken on that team, I think that this organization, these guys should be very proud of that. It's Eichel. It's the kid we're going to see on Friday night, Connor McDavid. And then you throw Brandon Saad, Ryan Murray, Seth Jones. They're going to be a team of youth going against teams of experience. And you look at Team Canada. I just saw the roster of Canada. You've got the roster of U.S., I believe, there. It just sets up for one of those. It's going to be fun to watch.
Well, listen to this roster for the North American team, the 23 and under team.
Oh, it's crazy.
The goaltending, John Gibson, who's really turned it on for the Anaheim Ducks. Connor Hellebuck, who we saw play for the Winnipeg Jets earlier this year. And Matt Murray from the Pittsburgh Penguins. The defensemen, besides Seth Jones and Ryan Murray, you have Aaron Ekblad from the Florida Panthers. Morgan Riley from the Toronto Maple Leafs. Then up front, Sean Couturier from the Flyers, Jack Eichel, as you mentioned, from the Sabres, Johnny Gaudreau of the Calgary Flames, Dylan Larkin from Detroit, Nathan MacKinnon from Colorado, Connor McDavid, who you mentioned, JT Miller from the Rangers, Sean Monahan from the Flames, and Brandon Saad. That's your team. If you get goaltending from John Gibson, who I would imagine is going to wind up being the starter, that team can do some damage, because I would expect them to be playing with a very carefree attitude and just having fun and playing upbeat hockey.
And they're going to be fast, and they're going to be coached by the head coach of the Edmonton Oilers, who is Connor McDavid's coach, and Todd McLellan. So he's, and that's got to be the youngest, most high, but let's say the highest skill of young forward talent in the National Hockey League in Edmonton. So McLellan's going to be fired up to get that up-tempo hockey. And then it's Sweden, Finland, Russia with Team Europe, Team Canada, Team Czech Republic. So Team Europe is going to be a makeup of a lot of different countries: Denmark, Slovakia, Switzerland, Germany. You know, Anze Kopitar, he's from Slovenia. Marian Hossa is from Slovakia. So, I mean, there's not a team that you're looking at this right now, as these rosters just came out, that you're saying that, oh, they're going to have no chance. And that's the scary part about this tournament, is that you've got eight teams with a lot of skill. You got teams with a lot of experience. And, you know, when you put that together and then put them against the youth of that team, North America, that which is under 23, it sets up for exactly what these tournament makers were looking for. And that's some healthy and the best competition in the world. the best in the world.
And let's not forget about Team USA, who is going to be training right here at Nationwide Arena and will play a pre-tournament game against Team Canada right in this building, which I feel is going to be better than the All-Star game we had here last year because it's all the stars, and they're going to be playing to get themselves geared up for the tournament. John Tortorella is the head coach of Team USA. Ben Bishop, Jonathan Quick, Corey Schneider, the three goaltenders. Good luck.
Wow, I mean, you stop there. That, right? I mean, that's that is ridiculous. I mean, Ben Bishop, 6 foot six or 6 foot seven. He's a goalie in Tampa. Jonathan Quick, he's got two Stanley Cups under his belt, looking for the third with a team that didn't make the playoffs last year. And Corey Schneider has emerged at that as that top goaltender when he got traded to New Jersey and finally became a starter. Well, now he's a 1A, a number one starter in the National Hockey League, and he's the reason why the New Jersey Devils are even close to that playoff position. So, that in itself, look out.
Yeah, and then they go to the blue line. Dustin Byfuglien, John Carlson, Ryan McDonough, Ryan Suter.
Two big boys in McDonough and Suter. They got leadership, young leadership. Byfuglien, I mean, he's a wild card, too. And in these international tournaments, when you have a guy like that that just roams all over the ice, that's a nice big threat.
And then for the forwards, Justin Abdelkader, Patrick Kane, Ryan Kessler, TJ Oshie, Max Pacioretty, Zach Parise, Joe Pavelski, Derek Stepan, and Blake Wheeler make the team. I can't wait to talk to John Tortorella about this team, and because he was involved in the process of who they were going to put on this first roster, this 16-man roster. By the way, guys can move in and out right now. This is what they're naming, but don't forget, if somebody gets hurt in the playoffs and they're not able to play, they'll switch and they'll make additions and subtractions here. But that's John Tortorella's team that he's going to take to the World Cup of Hockey.
Well, he'll like that. It's defense. I mean, the defensive part of that team, which he loves, in that Schneider, Quick and Bishop are his goaltending backbone. The leadership on the back end we talked about. And then you've got Patrick Kane. Oh, yeah, not bad. TJ Oshie, we saw him in the Olympics. Zach Parise, Joe Pavelski, the young captain in San Jose for the Sharks, who's just outstanding. We saw Derek Stepan up close in the final minutes of that game the other night in New York when he scored that late goal to cap it off for the New York Rangers. My surprise here is Abdelkader from the Detroit Red Wings. He's a kid that I know he's a big body. He's probably one of those kids that, you know, you need size in these tournaments, and that's probably what they're thinking there and picking up a big Abdelkader who plays in a very strong team again in Detroit. But the leadership here, the speed, Blake Wheeler's a big guy with speed. There's not much that you can say that is negative. I'm surprised Phil Kessel is not on this team. He's got good speed. He plays for the Pittsburgh Penguins. He's a good American-born player. But, you know, Ryan Kessler, too. I mean, he's a guy you mentioned. I actually skipped over his name, but effective player in Anaheim. And that's why he's like a host on that team.
Right.
He's a guy you forget about behind Getzlaff and Perry.
Gritty. And, again, they're going to play in an NHL rink. So you want
Torch
those kind
love
of guys.
That.
Yes, he is going to love that. And I mentioned Team Canada is going to come here for a pre-tournament game. Their goalies, Corey Crawford, Braden Holtby, Carey Price. That's a pretty good trio right there as well. On defense, Drew Doughty, Duncan Keith, Mark-Edward Vlasic, and Shea Weber. And then up front, Jamie Benn, Patrice Bergeron, Jeff Carter, Sidney Crosby, Ryan Getzlaff, Tyler Seguin, Stephen Stamkos, John Tavares, and Jonathan Toews. I think Mike Babcock, who's the coach of that team, was quoted earlier today saying, "My wife could name the 16 players that are going to be on Team Canada." Not a lot of surprises on this team, right?
Well, I'm surprised at Carter a little bit. I don't know why. I'm surprised at Vlasic, too, maybe because we don't see those guys very much. But Vlasic isn't that name. Good to see Corey Crawford get in there. He's a guy, and I just heard someone on the radio talking about that. You know, it's interesting. For me, Holtby is the new Crawford. I'm not sold on Braden Holtby. I know he's got some great numbers, and he was kind of like Nabokov. I think Holtby just tied him as over 40 wins two consecutive seasons in a row. The last guy to do it was Nabokov. He's getting the wins, but he's not that outright Carey Price. He's not that outright Jonathan Quick. He's done a nice body of work, but he seems to have gotten to this level pretty quick as far as Team Canada World Cup. So, obviously, Carey Price is there. He's very elite. But interesting, I guess there's only so many National Hockey League starting goaltenders, and that's a good trio they've picked up there.
Yeah, and it's interesting when you talk about Braden Holtby, of course, the Washington Capitals are doing a great job during the regular season, but they are a team that still has something to prove to everybody, including themselves, once they get into the playoffs.
Yeah, no question. I mean, that's where, Bob, I was a part of a team in San Jose. We won the President's Trophy. We were the best team in the regular season, and we came out with a second-round elimination, and – I sit here today and tell you, I mean, what does that mean? It means nothing. I mean, it's a lot of pride, but you're right. Your medal is earned in the postseason, and that's where teams, and that's why we talked about the deadline and that deadline show. I think the pickup of Stahl in New York, the gritty boys with size who are ready to go deep in the playoffs, it's a battle of who's going to be standing at the end. And you know, this is going to be a quick tournament. There's no doubt, but there's got to be that you got to have that experience of those guys that can battle.
I love the Olympics. I wasn't, even though they've been talking about this for like the last year, I wasn't excited about this the same way about the Olympics coming around. But now once you see the rosters, it kind of piques your interest.
I couldn't agree with you more. I mean, it's like, you know, I mean, Perry is not on Team Canada. Getzlaff's on, but Perry isn't. And that tells me maybe with the early struggles in Anaheim, they could only take one because there's still a lot of really good players available. P.K. Subban is a guy that you'd love to see on this stage. But, of course, this is the preliminary 16 players. So the way they stack up right now, I love the way the league has done it, too. They've created excitement, definitely, with even our conversation now. I never thought we'd talk about this until September, but it's I like what they've done here.
Yep, and it will be exciting once that rolls around to see the best of the best here at Nationwide Arena training and then playing in a pre-tournament game. So once again, the Blue Jackets four players, Seth Jones, Ryan Murray, Brandon Saad on the North American under-23 team, and then you've got Sergei Bobrovsky on Team Russia. So the Blue Jackets, we'll get back to them here in just a moment when we take the break and come back. We'll talk about the game they played in New York against the Rangers on Monday. That was trade deadline day. That turned out to be a very quiet day, but they went out and they were pretty loud against the Rangers until right near the end. Boone Jenner got a new contract. We'll hear from him coming up later in the show, too, and get his feelings on that situation. Let me just tell you, he's a happy guy. Surprise. Spoiler alert right there. So we continue. The Inside Edge right after this on 97.1 The Fan. Welcome back to The Inside Edge. Bob McElligott and Jody Shelley with you. We just told you the rosters for the World Cup teams, the first 16 for each team getting released, and then that'll change and be added to and all that stuff over the next couple of months. But right now, let's get to the Blue Jackets news at hand. And Jody, let's go back to Monday. We were in New York at Madison Square Garden for trade deadline day for the Blue Jackets. It turned out to be a quiet day. When we did that show from there, we talked about the fact that if you don't have the right deal to make, don't make a deal. And that's the way Jarmo Kekäläinen approached it. He didn't have something that was going to work, so this Blue Jackets team stays intact. And, you know, it was funny talking to the players afterwards. They were happy because they do like the group that they have. They do think they can do special things with this group.
Well, yeah, and as we talked about right in that moments after the deadline passed, when we did the show from New York, we did that trade deadline show, which, you know, it wasn't huge at that moment. A lot of key pieces moved earlier in the week, we'll say. And, you know, you look at the contracts of guys that, like, the names that were thrown around here were Hartnell and Tootin, veteran guys that could add experience to rosters. I don't know what the asking price was as far as what other teams had to give up to get those players, but obviously there was no match. And, you know, you don't do things just to do them. And the Blue Jackets now stand pat. There's a different feeling around here. It gets tense. You know, the unknown of what's going to happen at any minute as for a professional athlete is probably the hardest part of that job. But those veteran players, I think there was excitement for those guys that maybe they were going to get to go. Because you see every year, there's one player who gets traded at the deadline who ends up raising the cup mid-June. And last year was Kimmo Timonen. And I know he's a good friend of Scott Hartnell's. You know, that's the ideal scenario. It works out, 10% of the time maybe that way. But there's always that chance, hey, Scott Hartnell's got a couple years left on his contract. There's no decline in his game. He's a guy that works at his game. So he wants to be part of a successful Blue Jackets organization, and he still is a part of this organization, what's good. I think the offseason is always interesting, but I think Scott Hartnell will be around here to start the season next year.
Yeah, and as we talked about the other day, for players that have tenure left on their contracts, sometimes it's easier to do that in the summer. It's easy for a playoff team right now to say, yeah, we'd love to have him, but then they might be looking at salary cap problems in a couple of months because they took a player like that on. So a lot of teams just shy away from that now. They'd rather make the deal in the summertime when they have everything out in front of them and they know exactly what they're dealing with. But, yeah, let's be honest. Fedor Tootin and Scott Hartnell
couple of character guys. I have no problem with either one of them still being here because, as you said, they still produce.
Yeah, well, that's it. These guys are a big part of this team. And listen, when the deadline is approaching, we're speculating, we're checking out scenarios. Just half of it is just, I mean, you read the stuff and it's like, you know, it's a possibility. But they're a part of this team. There's no problems here right now with these players, because if there was, there would have been someone shipped out and would have been for a high draft pick or future considerations. That didn't happen. So they know the pieces they have. They're happy with what they have. And listen, this team needs veteran players like Tootin and Hartnell right now, with how young they are and what they've gone through this season and what they've learned.
Let's talk about the game on Monday night against the Rangers. Blue Jackets in a tight battle. Matt Zuccarello gets the first goal late in the first period, comes around behind the net, takes a shot. It's one of those, to use our lingo, probably one of those ones Jonas Korpisalo would like to have back, because it looked like it was one he should have been able to stop. He didn't. It gets into the net. Later in the game, third period, Cam Atkinson picks off a cross-ice pass, goes in one-on-one, and scores a goal, ties it at one, and the Blue Jackets are in the driver's seat at that point. And now it's late in the third period. They're on a power play, and they mishandle the puck on the power play, allowing Derek Stepan to go back the other way one-on-one. Listen, the Rangers are dangerous. Derek Stepan is not the only guy that I don't want to see with the puck in that situation, but then again, I probably could have picked two or three other guys I'd rather see with the puck on their stick than him in that situation.
Well, and it's amazing. Like, successful teams find ways to win. And teams that are stuck find ways to lose. And I honestly felt the Blue Jackets found a way to lose there. They're on the power play, as you mentioned. And Derek Stepan is, you can watch three games in a row and not notice him and think, boy, he didn't do much. But he does a lot of things very well. He's strong on the puck. He's got an ideal shot. He's an excellent player. Big time moment at the end of a game, a crucial game for them, obviously. And he just needs that one opportunity. And I was so shocked that he cut to the middle on that. He had no shooting lane with the back checker in the middle. Strong power move, puts it past Korpisalo. I thought it was a well-played game by the Blue Jackets. They were disciplined. We saw a little emotion. I thought there'd be a little more with Brandon Dubinsky going back to the Rangers and the way the storylines are. And, hey, how they started this season and stomped the Blue Jackets over those first two games of the year. Not a lot of emotion, but it was almost played like a it was a cautiously game played, and the opportunity Blue Jackets had just evaporated, and it's really unfortunate because you would have liked them to see them walk into Madison Square Garden and take those 2 points on trade deadline day after the Rangers had just made that trade. Anything you can do to upset the Rangers, I think, is a good thing from the Blue Jackets' perspective. Didn't get it done. Boy, they're skating hard today. Or they skated hard today, Bob, out there at the practice rink at Nationwide Arena. And that's where they're at. They're going to look at these scenarios as tests. You know, there's no pressure on this team. Deadline's passed. They're not going to make the playoffs. Or if they are, it's going to take one heck of a run. And from where they sit, it's a long, long way to go. So when you look at that, you've got to evaluate with that in your mind that who's ready for these tests. And there is tests throughout every single game. Korpisalo has risen to the occasion, but he's a kid who's trying to prove himself every night. You've got guys with contracts, guys that know they'll be back. They're going to face moments in games, and there's going to be crucial times, and you're going to see different guys in different scenarios, and that's what the remainder of the season's for here. They want to win. Every night you go in, and when we do the broadcast, we're doing it hoping for a win, just like the players are, because that's what pro sports is all about. I mean, it's just about getting the win. But there's going to be a lot of notes taken throughout this last 6 weeks or 5 weeks of the season as to what exactly guys are made of.
I want to ask you about that emotion or lack thereof in the Rangers game. Jared Bolf played, hadn't played in a long time. He did have a fight in that game, but I agree with you. I thought right from the beginning there would be more grit in the Blue Jackets game just because of the two games earlier in the year. And, you know, Brandon Dubinsky talks about this all the time, and I'm not saying that he should have been the guy to lead it or he should have been the only guy, but he talks all the time when we talk to him after games where there's been some rough stuff and some scrapping and some scrums, and he says, well, we play at our best when we play that way. So I was surprised, and I'm asking myself for a couple of periods, where is that? Why isn't there more bite in this game on the part of the Blue Jackets? Because even though they're the road team, to go in and basically tell the New York Rangers, we didn't show up to be a patsy for you guys, okay? We've got big things and big plans to do in this game. But I really didn't see that from them the way I thought I would. Do you agree?
Absolutely. I was disappointed. I mean, you got a team that's I honestly think that the Rangers knocked the Blue Jackets season off kilter, and I thought we would go in and just go straight at them and try to intimidate and at least take a big chunk out of them. But it was more about and it was a good hockey game. There was some good speed. I mean, Atkinson's goal was a ridiculous amount of speed down on Antti Raanta. And you know, yeah, I think that there needs to be a statement. I was expecting a statement from the players. You know your fans are watching. You're there. Go over there and run them over. But it didn't happen, and they didn't get the win. But it sure would have been more fun to see some more emotion in that. I think there was only one scrum, honestly, and I was expecting way more.
Yeah, maybe it's just us and our desire for old-time hockey to return somewhere out of nowhere, you know?
You only get a few opportunities to make those statements, and if you're going into Madison Square Garden, boy, there's no better feeling when you know that there's 19 other guys with you that have the same goal in mind. That is to make this a long night for the opposition. In this case, it would have been the Rangers. That was an opportunity to do it.
Now let's talk about this week. We'll get more into the game specifically a little bit later in the show, but there's a game Friday at home against Edmonton, Saturday on the road in Philadelphia. Blue Jackets had another player back on the ice today in Sergei Bobrovsky, participating in a full practice. One of those weird days where you have three goalies. There's two nets, three goalies. Never an ideal situation for any of them, except for Bobrovsky, because he's trying to work his way back and get back into a game.
Yeah, and Sergei is a goalie. Obviously, he's had a rough year as far as injury, but named to that team, the Russian team. We talked about that earlier in the show. And you know, he has that ilk. He's the guy that when he's in the net, there's that intimidation factor. And I think even when we looked at Lundqvist the other night, not playing in New York, I think there's a different mentality for the Blue Jackets and the players that have to go against him, because you know, not only do you got to work hard to get at him, but you got to work hard to beat him. So having Sergei back in practice and look like he's going to be ready to start a game here in the next little bit, that's exciting. I mean, that's Sergei needs that for himself. The Blue Jackets need to play in front of him. He's in a competition now. I mean, you can say there's no competition, but I know as a professional athlete, you're a competitor, and probably the same in our – it's the same in our business, any business. If you're sitting back, Bob, listening to someone do your radio call at home, you are – it's not right. It's not a comfortable feeling. And if it is a comfortable feeling, well, guess what? The fire's out. It's time to go do something else. So with Bobrovsky here, don't think that he's not watching and listening to how much we're praising Korpisalo. McElhinney knows he's the backup goaltender, and that's his role. And right now he's probably worried about a few things too. But that is what you want in a good organization. You want competition. You want guys feeling uneasy. And especially in our business. And I mentioned earlier, it's such a day-to-day business. When you come in and you are planning for next week or next month, I just think that that's the wrong mindset. I think it's got to be fight for today, earn your job today, get a little bit better. And I think with Sergei, seeing Korpisalo, and McElhinney, these three guys have got a good thing going.
Well, we did kind of lie to you at the beginning of the segment, now that I think about it and I get ready to move on to the next segment, because we said nothing happened on trade deadline day. Not true. Boone Jenner signed a new contract with the Blue Jackets. He signed a 2-year extension, and we're going to talk to him about that coming up next as the Inside Edge continues on 97.1 The Fan. Welcome back to the Inside Edge. I'm Bob McElligott alongside of Jody Shelley. Boone Jenner earlier this week signed a 2-year contract extension with the Blue Jackets, and we're joined by him right now. Boone, is it nice to get that business out of the way with a couple of weeks left in the season?
Yeah, for sure. I think you know, coming in this year, it's kind of in the back of your mind, and you know, you just want to play, and you know, and kind of think about it here and there, and just to have it done and out of the way, it's pretty exciting. And you know, 2 more years here, I'm pretty ecstatic about that.
How involved do you get in that process? Does the agent do most of the work and call you when it's getting near the end, or how much dialogue do you have?
Yeah, I think you know, it's kind of between the agent and the staff here, and then you know, kind of relays it back to me. And you know, I just try to keep playing and, you know, obviously get that information, and then, you know, excited when we finally, you know, land on what we're going to do.
Did it take a long time, or do you get the call and did it get wrapped up in a short period of time after that call?
I don't know, you know, really what's a long negotiation. Short, it was my first one, so, but I think it was pretty short.
Were you, I mean, restricted free agents now, we've seen them hold out from time to time. How important was it you to just to get this done, not be a distraction, or was it just kind of like you knew your comparables, that sounds good, let's look to the future?
Yeah, you know, I didn't want to, you know, obviously hold out or anything like that. You know, I think, like I said, I think it was a pretty short negotiation. I think we both kind of, I guess, knew where it was going to go. And, you know, and then, you know, we got it out of the way. So I'm pretty happy about that.
How about the trade deadline? That was the day that you signed, well, it was released, you signed that contract extension. When you see guys, and you've been through a couple trade deadlines now, when you see guys that think they might be going, and I mean, you want to talk to them about it. It's hard. I know it's a hard situation because you really don't know what they're going through or what their wives and that are going through. But is it nice when guys go past that deadline, you walk into that room, and they're still there? Good feeling for you and your group here?
Yeah, for sure. You know, it's always kind of nerve-wracking. You never know what can happen, you know, in the trade deadline. You know, you never want to see teammates go. And, you know, it's pretty quiet deadline, obviously, this year, I think, and we still have all the same guys in here, so I'm, you know, pretty happy about that and excited.
Did that surprise you at all? Did you think that you might show up at the rink in New York later in the afternoon and look around? There might be some empty spots.
Yeah, I you know, I mean, you know, it's just the business, and you know, there's trades that are going to happen, and like I said, it seems to that day gets a lot of hype, and you're always kind of thinking about it. So I guess, you know, you can get traded any day of the, you know, the year before that, but on that day or a couple days before that, you know, it seems like, you know, it sort of sinks in and you don't want to go or you don't want, you know, other guys to go.
Yeah, that's a good point because if you look back at it, maybe the biggest trade was the one that brought Seth Jones here 5 weeks before the deadline, right?
Yeah, exactly. I think that's, you know, that was a big trade, obviously, for both teams. And, you know, it wasn't on the deadline. So, yeah.
Boone, we're in a situation now where at the last quarter, well, the last kind of few weeks of the season. Last year was a successful run at the end of the season. Is this group different? I mean, we went through something this year with those losses, the struggles, a lot of, you know, tough time to get things going your way. Torts is in here. The system is in place. You guys are playing well now. Are things different? Is there a kind of a more positive feel to you guys in this group right now?
I think for sure. I think, you know, I think we were growing in the right direction. You can see it in the last couple months even. You know, we're just getting better in a lot of aspects of the game, and it makes it more, you know, enjoyable to come. And I think we're upbeat a little bit more in here for sure. And, you know, we're just playing hard. We're bringing it. We found our, you know, our consistent level, and we got to find that standard every game. And I think lately we've been doing a good job of it. So, you know, it's good to see.
Have you figured Torts out yet? Because he's a guy that can be intimidating, but he loves a good joke and a good ribbing. Have you guys been staying on top of him a little bit?
Yeah, once in a while. You got to know when the right time is, but yeah.
Yeah, he's a guy that, I mean, you think that he would hate for you to talk back or not talk back in a disrespectful way, but to snap back a quick joke, and it seems like the room kind of feeds off his energy. Is he the same? Is he what you thought he was going to be?
Yeah, I guess. I think, you know, I didn't know anybody that, you know, had him before, obviously, Doobie. But, and then so when he came here, I didn't really know what to expect. But, you know, I think it's been good. Like you said, off his energy, you know, he can get us pumped up and, you know, get on us if you know, we need a spark. And I think that's good. And yeah, you could throw jokes here and there at him, and I think, you know, it's good.
He's already excited about his training camp, which, I mean, Dubinsky's been through it, and I know it's legendary around the league. But it'll be in the front of your mind, I'm sure, this summer.
Yeah, I've heard some rumblings about the training camp, I'm not going to lie. You know, I think, you know, he's be our first camp with him, so I think he might be looking forward to that with this group, a new group. And, you know, I think it's a long ways away. We got to focus on this year, but, yeah, definitely heard about it.
Yeah, and if you're thinking that you might get somewhat of a break, and by the way, we're talking with Boone Jenner, if you think you might get some kind of a break because he's coaching that World Cup team for Team USA, he's already worked all the way around that. I don't know if you've heard that, but that's the word on the street.
Yeah, I don't think we got to expect that. I think we're getting it one way or the other.
Hey, when you talked about how this room is different, what about the way you've adjusted to overcoming bad situations, early goal, you know, a goal that's scored? It used to be early in the year, you could score a goal. 15 seconds later, the other team scores a goal. You're almost done right there. Now you overcome all these things. What's been the big transformation there? Is it just a team confidence?
Yeah, it comes down to consistency. I think, you know, that the effort is consistent right now, and it's for up a goal or down a goal or up five goals, up, you know, down a couple goals. But I think we got that consistent level. We play the same way, and I think that's the way it should be. You should be playing hard, you know, playing the same way. If you're up one or down one, you gotta stick with it. I think we've been doing a good job of that.
Jody talked about the big run you had at the end last year, but what's is the focus literally period to period, game to game right now?
I'd probably say game to game. We just want to, you know, keep building. Like I said, in the last couple months, you know, the positives that we've got going, and just keep building and growing in that direction.
Connor McDavid comes in here on Friday with the Edmonton Oilers. What were your impressions of him when you played him in Edmonton just a couple of weeks ago?
Sick. He's quite a player. You know, I think that was his first game back there against us, and he had a few points. He's electrifying out there. You can see it with his speed and his skills. So, you know, like any kind of good player, try to stay on top of him, take some time and space, and try not to get burnt.
Yeah, he was only that good after missing about 30-some games, right?
Yeah, exactly.
Your old roommate Ryan Murray learned real quick how fast he was in that opening faceoff of that game, and he's still smiling about it.
Yeah, I was kind of like, I would do the same. I think he's around you, or you got to take a penalty when he's coming that fast at you there.
Now Murray's on the other side of the room right now. He's all worried that we're talking about him. He can't hear what we're talking about, which is that's always a good thing though, too, isn't it?
Yeah. You can see him. He's looking around now.
So big weekend though. You've got Edmonton here on Friday, into Philly on Saturday. So a couple of big tests coming up for you guys.
Yeah, like you said, Edmonton coming in here. You know, they got some firepower. You know, I think we didn't play too well out there in Edmonton, the way we wanted to. So I think you know, we're looking forward to, you know, getting back, you know, at them and trying to win one against them in our barn, and then Philly, we you know, we see them quite a bit throughout the year in the same division now, so it should be a good one.
Boone, thank you so much. Again, we're so glad that your situation's taken care of. Look forward to you being around here for a long time. Thank you.
Thank you, guys. Appreciate it.
That's Boone Jenner. Stay tuned. More of the Inside Edge next on 97.1 The Fan. Getting ready to wrap up tonight's edition of the Inside Edge. Bob McElligott, Jody Shelley with you. Coming up on Friday, the Edmonton Oilers come to town. Jody, as Boone Jenner alluded to just a few minutes ago here, Blue Jackets have some unfinished business with the Edmonton Oilers, because when they played them, and that was coming out of the All-Star break, it was the first game out of the All-Star break, went to Edmonton, had been playing very well going into that. They had picked up points in the three games leading into the break, including back-to-back wins against the Montreal Canadiens, and all of a sudden, bam, 5-2, they get beaten by the Edmonton Oilers. We talked about Connor McDavid. He had just come back from that broken collarbone. He had 3 points in that game, including a highlight reel goal that we saw over and over and over and over again the entire time we were in Western Canada. So this is a team that, I don't care where they are in the standings, they're a dangerous team.
Oh, there's no question. And I love the comment, you know, we can talk about players all day and scouts can talk about what they're like, but when you have veteran NHL hockey players talking about, I mean, you saw Boone Jenner, we heard his voice. He was blown away by the skill and speed of young Connor McDavid, who went into Buffalo last night. Did you watch that? It was Buffalo versus Edmonton in Buffalo, so it's McDavid versus Eichel. And the Oilers won 2-1 in overtime. And McDavid, all he did last night was he had 2 goals for the Edmonton Oilers. The 1 goal for the team and then the overtime winner unassisted. So, you know, and maybe fans have heard us talk about him and aren't sure or think that we're all about the hype. But I'm telling you, you hear Boone Jenner talk about him. I went up to Erie to watch him last year play. And forget the Oilers. They got a bunch of good number one draft picks, whatever. This is about Connor McDavid. He's electrifying. His speed is – he'll pull you out of the chair. I was blown away last year in junior. I was so excited to watch him in Edmonton. Of course I love following the Blue Jackets and watching what they're doing. But we get an opportunity to go into buildings, interact with these players, and see the product on the ice. You want to see the superstars of the game. How excited when Sidney Crosby comes to Columbus. Everybody gets fired up because you want to beat him, but you also want to see that that skill. Well, this kid coming in here on Friday evening, if you get an opportunity, I've told everyone I've known to that I know, and I started it probably in the summer when the schedule came out, come to this game in the beginning of March and watch Connor McDavid, because you will be blown away. Not only at his skill is unexplainable. And a quick story, when we were in Edmonton after that All-Star break, you mentioned that was our first game after the break. Ryan Murray, and I kind of was joking around with Boone there in that last segment. I'll tell you the story on Ryan Murray. So Ryan Murray, I go up to a stall in Edmonton, and I said, Ryan, you know anything about Connor McDavid? And he goes, no, not a thing. I said, well, I mean, have you seen him skate? I haven't seen one highlight or anything about him. Well, Ryan Murray starts the game that night in Edmonton, and Connor McDavid gets the puck in the neutral zone, and Ryan Murray, you could tell he wasn't ready for the speed to be closed, that the gap to be closed that quick, because the kid had so much speed, Murray thought he had like another second till he was going to get there. As McDavid's going by Murray, he sticks out a stick and takes a penalty. So not only did I not see McDavid, the speed overwhelmed him. And from that, I asked him after, I said, did he get to you pretty quick? He said he was across the entire room, and the next thing he was beside me. And I was like, yeah. I mean, those are the things about this kid and his skill with the puck. He keeps plays alive. We've all seen the highlight reel that he scored against the Blue Jackets. He split Jack Johnson and Justin Falk and went in and beat the goaltender. So he's fun to watch. The Oilers are a head-scratcher because they've had so many first overall picks and top picks in the NHL. But their team, definitely. I like what you said, though. The Blue Jackets owe this team. And I felt they owed the Rangers. We talked about that earlier in the show. And they didn't bring that emotion. I want to see the emotion here on Friday night against the Oilers.
And when you talked about that goal where he split the defenseman, he beat Jonas Korpisalo. And you had mentioned after the game, you saw Korpisalo say something to Connor McDavid along the boards. And McDavid just laughed. And when you asked him afterwards, well, just tell me, what did he say? You asked him afterwards. What did you say to him? What was his response?
Yeah, he went over to McDavid the next TV timeout where he had an opportunity to go up to him, and he said, how did you do that? And, you know, you could see the smile on McDavid's face down in the corner. Yeah, that was the thing. This guy, not only one player playing against him in Boone Jenner, but the whole team was kind of in awe of what he can do.
We see Jack Eichel one more time per year than Connor McDavid because Jack's in the Eastern Conference. And you mentioned those two went head-to-head last night in Buffalo. I already started to see the stories yesterday where people were lamenting that the bad thing about those two is they're in separate conferences and they'll only see each other two times a year. Because one of the best rivalries with guys like that is the Crosby Ovechkin matchup, Pittsburgh-Washington, because they're always going against each other. They're always in the playoffs against each other, it seems. And the only way that Jack Eichel and Connor McDavid would ever be able to go head-to-head in the playoffs, as it stands right now, is they would have to be in the Stanley Cup Final.
And I like the interviews going into the game. McDavid said, we're not playing against Jack Eichel. We're playing against the Buffalo Sabres. And then Eichel had the comment, we're not playing against Connor McDavid. I don't care. When you're driving to the rink or when you're preparing the day before, as a young player who was first overall pick, second overall pick, Eichel wanted to take him down and beat the Sabres, and he wanted to be the guy that scored the two goals. And I know that McDavid was thrilled, had to be thrilled with his game in Buffalo.
Yeah. And you mentioned, you've told everybody you know, mark this game on your calendar and come to this game. Earlier today, I was on one of our network stations, and they were giving away tickets. And it happened to be, yeah, it was for this game. And I made sure to tell them, you guys know what you're sitting on right here. I mean, if you want to see the next superstar of the game, you're going to get a free chance to come and do that. So, his name, I don't know. The hockey fans, the hardcore fans, of course, here in Columbus, they know the name and they'll be there and they want to see him. But this is a potential generational player that you get to see play. Now, don't get me wrong about our gushing. I hope he does nothing. I hope he's scoreless at the end of the night and absolutely nothing happens, but he's still a thrill to watch.
Hey, this is our job, and this is what we're talking about. And you know, we're excited about a lot of things with a lot of things to do with this league, but this is a kid that's coming to Columbus, Ohio, because we have a National Hockey League team here that's going to take him down on Friday night. Let's get excited about Connor McDavid because he is the superstar of the NHL, and he's 19 years old. Yeah.
And then after that game Friday night here, it's on the road to Philly for a back-to-back. And the Philadelphia Flyers, this is another team that I forget how big a time span there's been between the meetings between the two clubs, but the Flyers are a lot better team right now than they were last time we saw them.
Yeah, they're a team that's trending in the right direction, there's no doubt. And you know, it's always fun to play the Flyers. We have Scott Hartnell, who's still a cult hero in that city in Philadelphia. He was part of that team that went all the way to the Stanley Cup Finals and lost to the Chicago Blackhawks in 2010, I want to say. 2009-10. And you know, there's just part of that fabric that when Scott Hartnell is playing against the Flyers in Philadelphia, his teammates will be fired up. Dubinsky will be fired up playing against that team a number of times when he did it as a Ranger. And there's just a good, healthy rivalry there because both teams similar in where they're at. Now, they have an elite superstar in Claude Giroux, and he is the leader of that team. But the Blue Jackets finding their team game. Have a goaltender in Korpisalo who's giving them a chance to win every night. And you put all those things together, and I think it's always sets up for a fun night in Philadelphia.
Yeah. What a stretch here, though. You had to play in Madison Square Garden. You come home, you face Connor McDavid. Then you go right back on the road to the Wells Fargo Center, which is an extremely tough place to play. So these games, you talked about this earlier, about finding those ways to test players. These kind of atmospheres will tell you a lot about players.
Well, yeah. I mean, honestly, that's what it is. You're talking about desperate teams, and then the Flyers think they're a team that's going to be in the playoffs still. So they didn't do anything at the deadline as far as major moves or anything at all, I don't think. And, you know, yeah, the tests have got to be there, man. How you handle the situations, and Tortorella has talked about the ebbs and flows of the games and the consistency all year. Bring on the tests for this young group and all these individuals for the Blue Jackets.
Yeah, and he has also said that not being in the playoff race, there's no way as a coach you can create the kind of pressure that a playoff race brings. However, I would say that going to Madison Square Garden, Wells Fargo Center, New York, Philly, that'll create a little bit of pressure right there, and at least you can find out a little bit about your players and what they're made of, and that's what the Blue Jackets will be looking to do this weekend. Again, find out what they're made of. That's a 7 o'clock start on Friday night against the Edmonton Oilers and then right to Philadelphia for a game on Saturday. And the Blue Jackets, they've got a lot of home games coming up this month. As a matter of fact, there is a 5-game homestand on the horizon here that will include the Detroit Red Wings coming in 2 times in the homestand, believe it or not. So a lot of good games coming up here at Nationwide Arena, and the next one is on Friday. That's going to do it for tonight's edition of the Inside Edge. For Jody Shelley, I'm Bob McElligott. We'll talk to you on Friday when the Blue Jackets play against the Oilers. But right now, that's it for the Inside Edge on 97.1 The Fan.